do believe you. I'll see Ben and you. 10-4 over and out.
10-4.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process.
I intend to win South Carolina, and I will win the African-American vote here in South Carolina.
Former Vice President Joe Biden leads by 20 points in yesterday's Monmouth University, South Carolina poll, ahead of tomorrow's first-in-the-South Democratic primary. Senator Bernie Sanders and businessman Tom Steyer are neck and neck behind him. In Charleston recently, Martin Luther King III, the oldest son of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., encouraged voters to consider environmental inequality, which disproportionately affects low-income and minority communities, when choosing a candidate. Ordained minister Dallas Conyers from South Carolina Interfaith Power and Light says climate change is her top priority.
I only look at the candidates who have even a minimum understanding of climate issues. Some of them talk about it, they have no clue.
Meanwhile, South Carolina Republicans are critical of the process itself. They canceled their primary last fall to save money, according to Republican political organizer Stacey Shea. Shea has long argued against the open primary system, which allows people to vote in either party's contest, no matter their registered affiliation. She claims Democrats take advantage of the system, a charge both parties have made over the years in states with open primaries.
In a lot of areas in South Carolina, they don't have competitive races, so the only voice that they feel they get is to vote in our primaries.
But ACLU South Carolina's legal director, Susan Dunn, favors keeping them open.
There are a lot of people who, for a variety of different reasons, don't want to make a permanent declaration of what party they're in. And to exclude those people from having their votes count in a pretty important process just seems undemocratic to me.
Stacey Shea's Facebook page, Registration by Party SC, encourages South Carolina Republicans to vote for Sanders to counter Biden's frontrunner status in the state.
It was really a mathematical assessment that we did to choose which other candidate to get behind. The only candidate in striking distance of Joe Biden is Bernie Sanders.
As Sanders rises in national polls, some establishment Democrats tell the New York Times they're willing to, quote, risk intra-party damage to stop his nomination, unquote, at the convention in July. Yesterday, Reuters reported the White House might invoke a law, the Defense Protection Act, to combat the spread of coronavirus. It would allow the president to expand production of protective masks and clothing as a matter of national security. Democratic candidates continue to question the Trump administration's response to the virus, including putting Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the federal effort. Pence has been criticized for how he handled the 2015 HIV outbreak in Indiana while governor. Bloomberg, for example, launched a national ad saying the administration's not prepared.
Number one, he fired the pandemic team 2 years ago. Number two, he's been defunding Centers for Disease Control, so we don't have the experts in place that we need.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks to 2020 Talks intern Danny Gare, and thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Bethany Bump reports for the Times Union that Governor Andrew Cuomo said February 27th that this year the flu has hit New York State hard. In fact, the 131,604 laboratory-confirmed cases of the flu this season are the most ever recorded since the state began tracking flu in 1998. By comparison, the 2017-2018 flu season, when 128,892 cases were recorded, was the second worst season. Quote, this year's flu season has been grueling and New Yorkers must remain vigilant against the spread of the virus, unquote, Cuomo said. Quote, if you haven't already been vaccinated, it's not too late. I urge you to get a vaccine and to please stay home if you are sick to avoid spreading the illness, unquote. The worst might be over as reported flu cases declined the last 2 weeks. Cases peaked during the week ending February 8th with 17,233 cases reported that week. Lab-confirmed cases of the flu have declined 26% since February 8th when 17,233 cases were reported in New York. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Ariel Zangler is reporting for the Daily Freeman. U.S. Representative Antonio Delgado said February 27th, the country needs to make sure it has the necessary resources to protect the public's health in light of the coronavirus threat. The Rhinebeck Democrat also noted the Trump administration should make sure it does not undermine the nation's ability to tackle the issue. Delgado said, and I quote, "I think it's important that we have the resources that we need to have a defense system and make sure that we're protecting public health," end quote. He said he found it, and I quote, "concerning," end quote. The president's proposed budget calls for significant cuts to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as approximately $25 million from public health preparedness and response allocations. The 2019 global novel coronavirus, or COVID-19, has symptoms similar to the flu and first emerged in December in Wuhan, China. This week, the CDC warned the American public to prepare for a U.S. outbreak of the disease. Delgado said, and I quote, "We have to be aggressive in terms of making sure that we are communicating with China and other countries that are being impacted to make sure that we are requiring transparency and accountability across the country and across the globe, and to make sure that we are incredibly forthcoming when it comes to the impacts that are on the ground," end quote. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Antonio Delgado will run for re-election in November. The first-term Democrat from Rhinebeck has yet to make a formal announcement, but said February 26th that, quote, "my focus is just making sure that I keep doing the work. When I am home, I am talking about the issues. I'm learning from the constituents. I'm focusing on the needs on the ground, and I have to be relentless in that regard, whether it's broadband, whether it's PFAS contamination, whether it's helping develop our workforce, whether it's tackling climate change," unquote. Delgado has several announced opponents. Republican Millbrook attorney Kyle Van De Water and Republican fashion designer Ola Hawatame are running in a primary election later this spring. And Green Party candidate Steve Greenfield from New Paltz is also running for the 19th Congressional District seat. Read more about this story at the Mid-Hudson News website.
Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. The Chatham Town Board now has an updated version of its proposed short-term rental regulations. At a workshop meeting in early February, residents offered comments on those regulations, and based on those comments, board member Abby Medick prepared an updated draft. Those changes will be presented at the board's March 5th meeting. Medick is hoping to soon send the amended law to the County Planning Board for review, moving the matter closer to a vote by the full board. Medick said, and I quote, "I think we're really close," end quote. Town Attorney Tal Rapplier provided the board with the paperwork required by the state for an environmental review of the proposed changes to the town zoning law. He recommended the town board pass a motion declaring the town lead agency for the state environmental quality review. Once the board determines the amended zoning law would have no adverse environmental impacts, the way will be cleared for a public hearing on the changes. It was noted during the meeting the town would be amending the zoning law before the board finishes its review of the town's comprehensive plan. In January, the town board appointed a committee to begin that review. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper.
Caitlin Cordero reports in the Poughkeepsie Journal that ahead of the April 28th primary vote, the 2020 presidential election has finally come to the Hudson Valley. Mike Bloomberg's campaign announced he is opening a campaign office on Route 9 in Poughkeepsie soon. Canvassing for Dutchess, Ulster, Putnam, Orange, Sullivan, Broome, Columbia, Delaware, Greene, Montgomery, Otsego, and Schoharie counties will be run out of the office. Dutchess County Sheriff Butch Anderson was again named a member of Trump's New York election team this year, and there have been a few house parties for Bernie Sanders, but not much other presidential candidate action in the Hudson Valley so far this year. In 2016, both Sanders and Donald Trump held large rallies in the Hudson Valley while Chelsea Clinton appeared for her mother. Read more about this story in the Poughkeepsie Journal.
Michael Williams is reporting for the Times Union. The State Department of Environmental Conservation has given the town of Petersburg in Rensselaer County 2 more weeks to make a decision on a proposed consent order to clean up and close a PFOA-contaminated landfill. The extension was granted at the request of the town, according to a DEC spokesperson. The DEC spokesperson said, and I quote, "The extension was granted for the purpose of allowing town board members to complete their review and analysis of all pertinent facts and issues and to allow an additional general meeting of the town board to publicly discuss the proposed consent order and to allow residents an additional opportunity to ask questions," end quote. The Petersburg Town Board now has until March 16th to approve an agreement that would require the installation of a system for collecting pollutants. In addition to PFOA, the landfill also contains heavy metals. The 22-acre landfill on Jones Hollow Road has been owned by the towns of Berlin and Petersburg since 1982. Once closed, it was capped and seeded with vegetation, but no system for collecting pollutants as they spread from the site was installed. As a result, toxins have been seeping into the groundwater and a small tributary of the Little Hoosick River. It remains unclear why the DEC allowed the landfill to sit idle for nearly 20 years without a final closure plan. And you can read the full story in the Times Union.
It's not too often that the Hudson Valley delegation in the U.S. House of Representatives votes together, as Republican Elise Stefanik rarely agrees with Democrats Antonio Delgado, Paul Tonko, and Sean Maloney. But on February 26th, they all voted for the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act. The bill would, if approved, make lynching a federal hate crime for the first time. The House vote was 410-4. The Senate passed a version of the bill last year. The bills will be reconciled, then sent to President Donald Trump, who is expected to sign the bill.
New York State Labor Commissioner Roberta Reardon announced this week that she will convene a wage board to hold public hearings to hear testimony to consider the existing overtime work threshold for farm laborers. The board will also consider the extent to which the overtime work threshold may be lowered statewide. This hearing is the first of 5 scheduled to take place at locations throughout the state. Testimony will be heard from farm laborers, agricultural employers, academic experts, and elected officials, among others. Attendees are encouraged to pre-register. To do so, go to http://www.labor.ny.gov/farmwageboard. Those who cannot attend any of the wage board hearings in person can submit testimony to the wage board at labor.ny.gov. The public hearing will be held at 11 a.m. on Friday, February 28th, in the Clark Auditorium at the New York State Museum Cultural Education Center on Madison Avenue in Albany. Hearings are also scheduled to take place in Syracuse, Binghamton, Farmingville, and Batavia. Read the full press release at the Department of Labor website.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts a partly sunny Friday with a high near 31 and a low around 17. Saturday, there could be isolated snow showers. There's a 20% chance with cloudy skies, high of 26 and a low around 15. Sunday will be mostly sunny with a high of 32 and a low around 21. And then Monday gets warmer with partly sunny skies forecast, high near 45. Listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes.
Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Pledge your support of Creative Community Radio for open ears during WGXC's Winter 2020 Pledge Drive, running February 24th through March 6th, 2020. Wayfarm is building the base of monthly sustaining donors. Growing a community of sustaining supporters is vital to our station's longevity. Your one-time donation or monthly recurring contribution is tax-deductible and allows WGXC to meet the most basic operating costs and keeps us on your FM dial. Visit WGXC.org/donate or call 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400 to support WGXC today.
To our WGXC Tower of Babel Winter 2020 Pledge Drive. It is until March 26th. As you know, WGXC does not exist without you. Okay, the supporters, the listeners, the people who make, who help make this possible. Okay, WGXC, as you know, is all volunteer. I do this volunteer, like out of the love of radio, and I love it. You know, but again, the donations, you know, the sustaining supporters, who, donate monthly, they, keep us afloat and keep us here and keep us live. You know, they keep the local the local shows live, you know, all the kids you hear, that's because of you guys. Okay. But if you are new to WGXC and you've been listening for a little bit and you're, and you, you know, you like it, maybe you should become a part of it, you know? So our goal is to add 30 more sustaining supporters. As of February 1st, 2020, I believe we have 213 supporters. I believe that is the amount, with about 3,100 a month that we receive. So, yeah. 213 sustaining supporters contributing an average of $14.85 every month, providing us with $3,163 towards our goal of $5,000. So we're just trying to get 30 more so we can get $5,000 a month, which keeps us here, you know, keeps us live, keeps me live. So you can donate as little as 17 cents a day or $5 a month. You know, again, to help sustain creative and community radio. So the ways you can donate, you can call if you'd rather talk to somebody. You can call 518-697-7400. You can also go to WGXC.org/donate. And, you know, you can donate, again, as little as 17 cents a day or $5 a month. Or you can do a one-time donation of any amount of your choice, whatever you feel like. You know, send in our way. And you can also mail a check to 369 Bourne Street. WGXC Care of Wayfarm, P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. Again, WGXC Care of Wayfarm, P.O. Box 13, Accra, New York, 12405. Yeah. So, yeah, you know. Winter 2020, Tower of Babel, On Air Pledge Drive, you know, this is us, you know, and we need your support. We love your support.
Paging Dr. Trump, first, do no harm. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. President Donald Trump and Larry Kudlow, the director of Trump's National Economic Council, aren't doctors, but they play them on TV. As the coronavirus epidemic spirals into a pandemic, causing a plunge in the U.S. stock market, Trump and Kudlow, a former CNBC TV host, are cynically spreading disinformation about the contagion.
We have contained this. We have contained this. I won't say airtight, but pretty close to airtight.
That's Trump advisor Larry Kudlow speaking on his old network CNBC Tuesday. Also on Tuesday, Trump tweeted, "Low ratings, fake news, MSDNC, Comcast, and CNN are doing everything possible to make the coronavirus look as bad as possible, including panicking markets. USA in great shape!" Exclamation point. The president of the United States tweeted. These statements directly contradicted a dire warning issued earlier that day by Dr. Nancy Messonnier, director of the National Center for Immunization and Respiratory Diseases. She said on a press call,
"The global novel coronavirus situation is rapidly evolving and expanding. There has been a lot of news coverage about community spread in a few countries since the last time we talked. This means that cases of COVID-19 are appearing without a known source of exposure. Locations with reported community spread now include Hong Kong, Iran, Italy, Japan, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and Thailand. Community spread is often a trigger to begin implementing new strategies tailored to local circumstances that blunt the impact of disease and can slow the spread of virus. The fact that this virus has caused illness, including illness resulting in death, and sustained person-to-person spread is concerning. These factors meet two of the criteria of a pandemic. As community spread is detected in more and more countries, the world moves closer towards meeting the third criteria, worldwide spread of the new virus."
Referring to a coronavirus outbreak in the U.S., Dr. Messonnier said,
"It's not so much a question of if this will happen anymore, but rather more a question of exactly when this will happen and how many people in this country will have severe illness."
As of Wednesday night, there were more than 82,000 confirmed cases of coronavirus infections globally and 2,800 deaths, as reported by a team at Johns Hopkins University. Most of these cases were in China, but the virus has been detected on every continent save Antarctica, with deaths also reported in Iran, Italy, France, Japan, the Philippines, Taiwan, Hong Kong, and aboard the Diamond Princess cruise ship quarantined in Yokohama, Japan. One of the most critical actions a government can take to prevent or to limit a pandemic is to clearly communicate accurate information to as wide a population as possible. That's probably why Li Wenliang, a 34-year-old ophthalmologist at Wuhan Central Hospital, China, shared his observations on the outbreak as he was treating patients on December 30th. The Chinese government censored his posts. He was ordered to a police station to sign a confession that he had made untrue statements on social media. At least seven others were similarly harassed. Days later, Li became sick with coronavirus and was hospitalized. He died on February 6th. His death sparked widespread criticism of the Chinese government for suppressing news of the epidemic's severity and for punishing a courageous whistleblower. The 47-year-old director of the Wuhan hospital died of the same viral infection not long after. China mounted a massive response, building a 1,000-bed hospital in less than a week, and locked down Wuhan and other huge cities, quarantining up to 100 million people in China. In the U.S., as the number of confirmed coronavirus cases increases, our preparedness, or lack thereof, is causing concern. Pulitzer Prize-winning science journalist Lori Garrett spoke on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
Where we are right now is that everybody is recognizing, oops, it was a big mistake by the Trump administration to obliterate the entire infrastructure of pandemic response that the Obama administration had created. Why did he do it? Well, it certainly wasn't about the money, because it wasn't a heavily funded program. It was certainly because it was Obama's program.
And explain, you're talking about the unit within the Centers for Disease Control.
No, we're talking about something much vaster than that. It was a special division inside the National Security Council, a special division inside of the Department of Homeland Security that Bozo was talking from, and collaborating centers in HHS headquarters in Washington, the Office of Global Health Affairs, and the Commerce Department, Treasury Department. But what Obama understood dealing with Ebola in 2014 is that any American response had to be an all-of-government response. that there were so many agencies overlapping, and they all had a little piece of the puzzle in the case of a pandemic.
Currently, no coherent structure exists in the United States to address a rapidly spreading, deadly pandemic. Instead, a hodgepodge of unqualified Trump loyalists are on the front line, with thankfully career professionals at the Centers for Disease Control and National Institutes of Health trying their best to protect the public despite a dysfunctional White House. At a Senate hearing Tuesday, Louisiana Republican Senator John Kennedy seemed incredulous with acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf's lack of preparation. Kennedy grilled Wolf on everything from respirators to infection rates.
Mr. Secretary, you're supposed to keep us safe.
My budget supports the men and women of the Department of Homeland Security.
You're the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Yes, sir.
And you can't tell me if we have enough respirators.
What I would tell you is that the budget, my budget, our operations are focused not only on the men and women of DHS, making sure they're protected to do their jobs, to screen individuals coming in. We're working with HHS, CDC, and their budget to ensure that they have enough medical equipment.
Do we have enough face masks?
For the Department of Homeland Security, we do.
I'm not asking for the Department of Homeland Security.
Are you looking?
I'm asking for the American people.
For the entire American public?
Yes.
No, I would say probably not.
Okay, how short are we?
I don't have that number offhand, Senator. I will get that for you.
Okay. But I want to be sure I understand. Somebody...
Yes, sir.
...is doing modeling...
Yes, sir.
...on how many cases were anticipated.
Yes, sir.
...just not aware of.
You're asking me a number of medical questions that
I'm asking
CDC
you questions
and HHS
because you're Secretary of
are
the Department
focusing on.
Of Homeland Security, and you're supposed to keep us safe.
Yes, sir.
And you need to know the answers to these questions.
And...
How far away are we from getting a vaccine?
In several months.
Well, that's not what we just heard testimony about.
Okay.
Who's on first here?
HHS is
What's
the
on
federal
second?
Agency for the coronavirus response. I would refer you to the CDC on specific questions.
Mr. Secretary,
questions.
I'm going to hush here. You're supposed to keep us safe, and the American people
Senator,
deserve some straight answers on the coronavirus. And
Senator,
I'm not getting them from you.
At a Wednesday evening news conference at the White House, Trump again assured the public that everything was going to be fine as long as people wash their hands and avoid touching doorknobs. He also announced Vice President Mike Pence would coordinate the federal response, citing the Indiana model of public health Pence implemented as governor.
I'm going to be announcing exactly right now that I'm going to be putting our Vice President Mike Pence in charge. And Mike will be working with the professionals, doctors, and everybody else that's working. The team is brilliant. I spent a lot of time with the team over the last couple of weeks, but they're totally brilliant. And we're doing really well. And Mike is going to be in charge, and Mike will report back to me.
What experience was Trump touting? Between 2011 and 2015, first as an Indiana Congress member, then as the governor, Pence oversaw the defunding of Planned Parenthood, as well as the shutdown of needle exchange programs. After an outbreak of HIV infections, Pence was forced to back down. His moralistic prescriptions, canceling sensible public health policies, caused lasting harm. What can we expect from him now? Here's a message for President Trump and his cronies. This is not about the stock market or your reelection. The coronavirus epidemic or pandemic demands a concerted, professional, fully funded global public health response. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
It is time once again for the WGXC Winter Pledge Drive, and the Tower of Babel is our theme this time. As last time we told you, WGXC was trying to decide whether we could afford to keep our FM 90.7 antenna on its tower in Cairo. Keeping on the FM airwaves is the single most expensive part of the WGXC media project, and the sustaining support from listeners keeps WGXC broadcasting and transmitting on 90.7 FM. If you feel that's important, we're asking for your help. Become the latest WGXC sustaining supporter. Make a donation at wgxc.org/donate or call 518-697-7400 and make a difference in your community today. Keep many voices on the air by keeping that one antenna on the Tower of Babel or the Tower of Babel, depending on your point of view. WGXC is asking for your help to keep those many voices on the air, voices from teenagers in Catskill and Hudson and Great Barrington to senior citizens and folks of all ages, all different backgrounds, playing music from around the world and around the neighborhood with stories about what's going on in the northern Hudson Valley. Please make a donation today. Become a sustaining supporter at WGXC. Just 17 cents a day or $5 a month, you can become the latest sustaining supporter who thinks it's important that local voices have local access to their own airwaves. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Make a difference today.
Hello and welcome to the Better Weather. Lake effect snow will be in the area. You may see a few flakes, but it won't affect travel. Temperatures start at 24 degrees today. It will rise to 35 by 2 p.m. With breezy conditions today, it will be wise to have a decent wind or rainproof coat. Overnight temperatures dip to 22 before climbing back to the low 30s tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow morning, we'll have a brief chance for snow or rain. Saturday night, temperatures drop to 18 before rebounding back to almost 40 on Sunday afternoon. Next week is looking generally wet. Sunset today will be at 5:23 p.m. and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:31 a.m. The latest flu numbers have been released for New York. We seem to have gotten over the seasonal hump and are on a steady decline statewide. Although current number of cases in Greene County have risen to 20 and Columbia County fell to only 8 confirmed cases. Corona infections in our borders remain unchanged with 15 total cases. Looking way up, we see Earth has captured another moon. Discovered on February 15th by the Catalina Sky Survey Team, Object 2020 CD3 is a rock about 2.5 meters wide. Hard to spot, but it's there in a possibly temporary orbit. And 390 million miles away in the Ophiuchus cluster, astronomers have detected the biggest explosion ever. Large enough to encompass 15 whole Milky Way galaxies, the explosion is believed to have been triggered by a supermassive black hole consuming a neighbor. Solar wind speed is currently 345.8 kilometers per second at 6.5 protons per milliliter. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. There have been 26 days since the last sunspot. And I'd just like to mention that listeners out there can have a chance of meeting some of the Catskill Makers members tomorrow night at Goth Night at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. And it's the fun drive time again, friends, and that means we once again beseech the members of our community for support. If you're listening to me while waiting for one of our many fine programs like Democracy Now!, or you just don't want to hear the same 15 pop songs in a row, day in and day out, please consider making a fully tax-deductible donation to WGXE. Give us a call at 518-697-7400 or do it online at wgxe.org. Just click on donate.
I just heard some terrible news, honey.
What's that, dear?
WGXC is going off the air.
Oh no, they didn't get my donation of 45 cents and a cup of old coffee.
Ah, well, you can go to the website, wavefarm.org or wgxc.org, and give them a donation. You can do it monthly, online, by check. You can even give them your stocks.
Oh, I'm not giving them my stocks, honey. My Apple stock just went up.
Oh, you love that Apple stock.
Oh, and I love apples and peaches from the orchards of the Hudson Valley.
Oh, boy.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Sarah Tafton is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Catskill Village officials, February 26, agreed to the demolition of the former Greene County Jail and Sheriff's Office. Although the property is owned by the county, because it is located within the village, board action was helpful. Trustee Joseph Koloski said, and I quote, "The county was asking for our okay to demolish the building the county owns already without going through more hoops," end quote. Village President Vincent Seely, Trustees Koloski, Natasha Law, and Peter Grass Jr. voted yes on the resolution. Gregory Smith abstained. Some residents were critical of the board's willingness to go along with the county plan. Catskill resident Hudson Talbot said, and I quote, "The village doesn't have to agree with the county. They were signing something they didn't have to sign. It felt like bullying to me. It felt like the county was bullying the village," end quote. "The final decision on what to do with the buildings and the property rests with the county," Seeley said. Law said, and I quote, "It's not our building," end quote. She said, and I quote, "Who are we to tell them what to do with their property? That's like me telling my neighbor they cannot knock down their old garage and build a new one," end quote. The county has explored a few options for the parcel, including two parking lot designs with either 23 or 41 spots, carrying an estimated price tag of $1.33 to $1.9 million. Greene County Treasurer Peter Marcoux said the State Office of Court Administration has expressed interest in developing additional office space on the property. You can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Amelia Teasdale is reporting for the Columbia paper. At its February 20th meeting, the Chatham Town Board heard from Columbia County Sheriff First Sergeant Lewis Bray about the Enhanced Enforcement Patrol Program. The agreement is renewed annually and provides the town with hours of patrolling by a sheriff's deputy. Bray said the enhancement patrols most often deal with traffic issues, but they can also be used for town events like parades. He said of the program, and I quote, "We do it because there is a need for it," end quote. Bray pointed out that the town could tell the sheriff's office where patrols are needed, but that, and I quote, "The town's not going to tell the sheriff how to do police work," end quote. Highway Superintendent Joe Rickard said he appreciated the help he received from the sheriff's office, adding, and I quote, "I hope this service continues," end quote. The board has now approved the contract for 2020. And you can read the full story in the Columbia paper. William Von Atzigen, 86, of Greenville, has been named the Greene County 2020 Senior Citizen of the Year by the County Department of Human Services. Von Atzigen will be recognized on May 15th at Greene County's annual Senior Citizen Day. At that same time, Lula Anderson of Ashland will receive the Outstanding Contribution by a Senior Citizen Award. Certificates of Merits will be awarded to Robert F. Gurley of Prattsville, Duncan McPherson of Freehold, Jan Shane of Hunter, and Susan Van Atzigen of Greenville. Van Atzigen moved to Greenville in 1957 and opened a clothing store on Main Street. He's been a volunteer for numerous organizations, including the North Hill United Methodist Church. He is a 60-year member of the Greenville Rotary and a life member of the Greenville Volunteer Fire Company. From 1972 to 1988, he was a member of the Greenville Rescue Squad. Van Atzigen and Anderson will also be honored on May 19th by state officials at the 2020 Older New Yorkers Day celebration. Read the full story in the Greenville Pioneer. A bullet was found on the floor in the bathroom at the Cairo Durham High School on February 27th. School officials did not report the incident on their website, but did send an email to parents. Dalton Shipps, middle school principal, wrote to parents, and I quote, "As soon as this situation was brought to the attention of the school resource officer and administration, a thorough investigation was begun in partnership with law enforcement. As a part of this investigation, the Sheriff's Department brought in canines to do a sweep of the building as a precaution. As a result of the investigation, it was determined that there was no credible threat and that no students were in danger," end quote. Nick Reisman is reporting at the State of Politics blog. Governor Andrew Cuomo said in a radio interview February 28th, he wants to see changes to the state's bail law included in the budget. Cuomo said he will hold a public meeting with district attorneys, police, and criminal justice advocates to discuss changes to the law. The state's bail reform legislation ended cash bail requirements for those facing misdemeanor and nonviolent felony offenses. Republicans and law enforcement officials began assailing the law before it went into effect January 1st, and the majority of the respondents to a recent poll now believe it's bad for the state. Senate Democrats have proposed a change that would give judges the authority to determine if a person should remain in jail. In the radio interview, Cuomo said he wanted strict guidelines created to prevent judges from remanding someone because, and I quote, they don't like the way they look or sound, end quote. Read the full story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com. And that wraps up the WGXC News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a nice weekend.
And so far, we are in the midst of a pledge drive. This is our pledge drive show here on Timeless Vibes, here on WGXC. And we're trying to get to 30 listeners, or 30 supporters, ongoing supporters, by March 6th. So right now we're at the beginning still of the pledge drive. We're in the first few days. 30 is our goal. And right now we have, I'm not going to lie to you, we have three. So we need 27 more to make that goal. And that's okay. We're in the early phases. That's no problem. It's no problem at all. And you can get us closer to our goal. Trust us. Trust me. Anytime you might hear that, well, okay, maybe that's kind of far away from the goal. And it is. But with just anyone's support, anyone listening right now, we can get closer. And trust me, every listener counts. Every supporter counts. Every listener counts. And the more people we have that support us, the less pledge drives we have to do until we don't have to do any of them. And that will soon be a reality if we can keep reaching these goals that we've put out before us. And so far, so good. We've been able to reach these goals. But it is difficult, and every little bit helps. So we ask you in this time, if you are interested, to please call 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or go online at wgxc.org/donate to become a $5 supporter, $5 a month, and that's about as low as you can go, and you can go higher if you wish, if you're very enthusiastic about the station. And every little penny counts. Every little bit. If you don't want to become a sustaining supporter, if you're thinking about it but you're not sure, but you still want to help out at the same time, we do accept one-time donations, of course. And you can give those to us by calling this number or by visiting our website. And we'd be very happy to receive that. But we are looking for sustaining supporters, because the more sustaining supporters we get, the absolute less, if at all, pledge drives that we'll have to do. I mean, unless you're someone listening right now and you have, I don't know, $500,000 and you just want to give that to the station, that would be a very... That would be a very generous, exceedingly generous of you. But you don't have to do that. Because, let's just face it, none of us are made out of money. I mean, I just parked, before I did this show, I think I parked in some neighborhood where it's a lot of wealthy houses, and so I'm kind of feeling bad about that. I don't want my car to get towed. You know, every time I park somewhere, it's always a bit risky, especially when I park somewhere that's a bit fancy, a bit fancier than me.
Why's that?
Oh, well, you know, last time I parked in a really nice neighborhood for 2 hours, and when I came back, there was already a Kmart being resurrected.
That's gentrification for you.
It sure is. And you can help donate to the station by calling 518-697-7400. That number again is 518-697-7400. Or visit online at wgxc.org/donate. And again, it does not have to be much. There's no commitment. You can jump out at any time if you're not sure. You can pay by credit card or PayPal. And it's as simple as that.
And we're live here during our Tower of Babel pledge drive. Last pledge drive, we told you that we had to make a decision about whether we were going to spend all the money to keep our antenna on our tower, which is the biggest expense of at WGXC. And you guys came through and said you wanted to keep hearing WGXC on 90.7 FM. Well, we still got to pay for that antenna on that tower, and that 3,300-watt transmitter has to stay heated in the winter and cooled in the summer, and all those expenses still remain, so we still need to try to get up to our goal of $5,000 a month in sustaining support from different folks. That just means you call and or go online and become a sustaining supporter and chip in, say, 17 cents a day to keep a multitude of voices on air. Because just like the biblical story of the Tower of Babel, WGXC's tower turns one voice into many, many different voices, from young people to senior citizens and everywhere in between, from people on the right to people on the left and everywhere in between, people behind you, people in front of you, people below you, and people above you. All get their chance to have their say on the radio at 90.7 FM. If you'd like to continue that way, we would love if you were the latest person to become a sustaining supporter at WGXC 90.7 FM by going to wgxc.org/donate or calling 518-697-7400. Right now, we are live from Hilo in Catskill until noon. The WGXC afternoon show is until 11, and then Corey McClaskin is in with the Forgotten Geek Show at 11 a.m. This is just some of our Catskill broadcasting. We are broadcasting live from Catskill on Friday nights from the Clubhouse Radio up at the top of Main Street near where the Rip Van Winkle statue will be coming back in the spring after the snowplows stop threatening it. We're also live from Spike's Record Rack on Wednesdays, the record store on Main Street. Spike Priggen broadcasts his Bedazzled Radio Hour for 2 hours live on Wednesdays after the noon news. We're also live from Catskill once a month from the Catskill Maker Syndicate studio on West Bridge Street next to the juice bar. Across the street from the Bridge Street Theater, you gotta know where it is there on West Bridge Street. They broadcast on the first Thursday of the month at 7 p.m., and they bring you the better weather weekdays on WGXC. And then we broadcast from the Avalon Lounge. Most shows there are broadcast on weekend nights, Thursday nights, Wednesday nights sometimes. If you're a fan of live shows in Catskill, then you've come to the right place, because WGXC has plenty of live shows in Catskill. Maybe more on the way soon. And we're also broadcasting from Hudson, our main studios in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church in Hudson, at the corner of Warren Street and 4th Street. Our door is on the 4th Street side. You can stop by and say hello sometime if you'd like. We also have a studio out in Acre in Greene County at the Wave Farm. If you're heading to Windham, it's just before you get to the Agroforestry Center on the other side of the road. So those are some reasons you might consider making a donation today to keep community radio on in your area tomorrow. So you can hear all sorts of different music from around the world or around the corner and hear news and stories and discussion about what's going on over the bridge, up the mountain, down in the valley, over the river and through the woods. I'm Tom Road Live this morning at Hilo in Catskill. You can hear I'm at the end of a cold. It was just a head cold. Nothing else. I know there's different versions of things going around. There's some flu that's been pretty bad this year, reportedly, and bad in terms of how harsh it is and also how widespread it is. But again, we're asking for your help to keep community radio on the air in your community. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or you can go online to wgxc.org/donate to hear all sorts of reports, tales, features, interviews, and more. We're about to hear a story about how environmental activists in Rensselaer County this past weekend lobbied for the closing of the Dunn landfill in Rensselaer County, across the street from the high school, where all sorts of construction debris is dumped, and mostly from New York City. And then the stuff goes into the air and blows to all over the area. We've been reporting about the PFOA and the PFOS that's been burning an incinerator in Cohos and blowing through the Hudson Valley with toxic forever chemicals. We've been reporting about the PFOS in Cairo, New York, in Greene County, from firefighter foam from the firefighter training center there that's right next to the town well, and how the town is not doing anything about it. They talked about maybe bringing water to the elementary school that's been getting the poison water, but they're not doing anything about it so far, and folks are drinking poison coffee from the donut stores and the grocery store there in Cairo. We're on it and trying to tell you about it, trying to get you up to speed on these issues. And so we're hoping that you might pitch in a little to make sure that that kind of reporting continues. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org. We just heard Unrest and Champions 9 from the Imperial FFRR record. A wonderful record that everyone should listen to at least once. For that, Giorgio Moroder's The Legend of Babel from the Metropolis soundtrack. Back to up my pleas for your help for community radio. So again, consider making a donation today. 518-697-7400. Becoming a sustaining supporter, just 17 cents a day will do it, $5 a month. And you can become the latest sustaining supporter. If we all chip in, we get this done. That's what community radio is all about. There's 100 or so programmers here chipping in with their time and their efforts to play you music, to interview friends and neighbors, to tell stories about what's going on in your community, to spread important news about the area. 518-697-7400 is the number to call, or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a difference in your community.
And who are you?
Who are you? I'm Cece Graham, and of course, it's Tommy D.
That's right, right here in WGXC.
Thursday afternoon
always,
show.
Thursday afternoon show. And we have a special guest, and I'm going to let Cece introduce her.
Okay, so we have a special guest today who is a resident of Hudson, and that is Dr. Ana Maria Acevero, who is gracing us today within the Black History Month, at the end of it, actually. And she also has an installation at the library we'll talk about and a bunch of other things. Say hello.
Hello. Greetings, Radio Land.
Don't be afraid of the microphone.
Okay, got it.
We purify them regularly.
I got my Florida water in the bag if you need it.
No coronavirus.
No, not yet. Not yet.
Speaking of coronavirus,
yeah, right.
Let's jump right into it. Yeah. I just heard that the president of Iran has now got the coronavirus.
Are you kidding?
I'm so serious. I don't understand
it. You go to those weirdo websites.
By that, he means that I consider the, what is it called? The those other papers, the paper.
Well, you've got to take a deep dive to get your news.
I know that's right.
You do. You
can't, I know that's right.
That's true.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess.
We just, I heard on our news just now, there's 15 cases within the United States.
And then most of them in California, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there were a few in Jersey as well.
But I don't think, you know, the president tells us we don't have to worry about it.
If our stable genius says it, what more can we know? But right. In reality, it is not a pandemic at this point.
Right.
How is a pandemic defined?
Good question, Tom.
Yeah, that is a good question. But I think if you have a pandemic, you almost know it. Something like the Spanish flu or something.
Right, that was
like
in 1812 or something like that?
Yes, yeah. A long time ago.
Or the Black Plague in Europe.
Mm-hmm. You know, these sweeping
deaths and mortality rates.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're. Oh, sorry.
So we're not there yet, but certainly it's not true that it's just going to go away and it's a seasonal thing. But there's a lot that we just don't know about it. Mm. Why are some people testing positive and are asymptomatic?
Mm.
Why are some people sick who seem to have it and testing negative? I mean, we just don't know.
Mm.
Rush Limbaugh says it's just the common cold. That's certainly not true, but it is in the family of coronaviruses that the common cold is a part of as well.
Okay.
And coronavirus is just called that because if you look at it microscopically, it has a sort of a crown, a halo around.
Oh.
Thank you for that. I think that a lot of people weren't getting the understanding of why.
They thought it had something to do with beer.
Well, we know that's not true because a lot more people be affected right now. I don't know if Russia or Ireland would be standing if it was up to that way, because I'm telling you what.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Oh, I see. That was a little slur against Russians and Irishmen.
No, I'm just saying that they enjoy a little cerveza every now and then.
That's true. Anyway.
Yeah. So it's just like stay tuned at this point, I think, and not to panic.
So you're not concerned in terms of your own self and your own health with this out there?
Well, I would say that there's just a lot that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Of the people that are here, they seem to be recovering. So who recovers, who doesn't recover? Right. Who dies of it? Is it because they're immunosuppressed? Are healthy people going to be able to tolerate it? There are just a lot of variables that we really don't know.
Can we step back a second and learn about Doctor?
Yes. Let's do that, because for people who are listening, you might wonder, well, what is her credentials? Is she a psychotherapist? Like, what kind of a doctor? Right. Let's go back to the
beginning. Tell us about yourself.
Yes.
Please.
Okay, what kind of a doctor? I would say I am a good doctor.
Are you an internist? Are you a family doctor?
I, until recently, was practicing here in Hudson as an internist, a primary care doctor.
At the hospital?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Columbia Memorial. Yeah. I practiced medicine for over 30 years. I recently took a step back. It's been like the love of my life, sort of, so I don't feel like I just want to abandon it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But just the day-to-day clinical medicine, I think I made the right choice to step back from that. But I'm very interested in public health policy, alternative medicine,
right,
different things like that.
That's beautiful. I think that we have a board of health in the city of Hudson, don't we?
Yeah, no. I'm on the board of health,
It's the county, isn't it? I think it's the county, isn't it?
It's the board of health for the county.
Yeah,
Greene
county.
Has their own board of health.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We can coordinate with them.
That's beautiful, because Columbia and Greene have always been like the twin counties, so it makes sense to coordinate.
Mm-hmm.
We're close.
So I'm curious about deciding to pull back a little bit. Because my daughter's at the beginning of her career as a family doctor.
Oh, good.
And she's pregnant with twins.
Oh. And, you know, she tells me about her. She's in her last months of residency.
Uh-huh.
A lot of clinical work. You know, working at clinics. I don't mean clinical in the other sense. When she tells me about it, I just wonder, does that kind of intense dealing with patients kind of wear you down over time? Or is it? Is there something about interns and internists and family doctors that are, it's more difficult than, say, if you're specializing in surgery
or urology?
Well, I'm not going to say that. I take my hats off to my surgical colleagues. Yeah. I just have the...
Me too. Dr. Astorga.
Oh,
look
yes.
at you.
Yes.
She cut me open.
Oh. And know. She brought you back together.
That's right.
That's a question. That's a question.
Yeah. We'll leave
it
open.
Skill sets are different skill sets.
Sure.
And I have tremendous admiration for somebody who could just cut people open
right.
and yeah. sew them back together. Mm-hmm. And to teach that, you know.
Yeah.
Because you're there with an intern who you know doesn't know, and you have to say, cut here, clamp this artery. So that was not for me.
Right.
And I think any residency is going to be, whether it's surgical, medicine, it's rigorous and it's difficult.
Because it's humans.
It's just humans, and it